You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We've been journeying through Ephesians chapter 4, and I'd love for you to get out your Bible and look into Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in verse 13 in just a few moments. And also grab your listening guide, because there's some places you're going to want to take notes and write some things down as we journey through our scripture time together. We've been in a series called Woven Together, that God wants to weave our hearts with one another together. He wants to weave our hearts with Him together. He wants to weave us together as a church body, that we are to be woven together. And that's what Ephesians, the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, is about. God weaving our hearts and our lives together. So a couple weeks ago, we looked that He's woven us so strong with one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and all of those things in unity that we can't be ripped. I had a piece of paper that you could not rip. Then we looked last week to see that He's given four different spiritual gifts, numerous spiritual gifts, but He names these four, these spiritual offices in Ephesians 4, that some are given to be prophets, some to be apostles, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And we're all to be what God has made us to be, that God's put a plaid in your life, a tartan in your life, a way, a pattern that makes up who you are in your spiritual giftedness. We encourage you to go to the website. We had, by Monday morning, over 400 people had gone and taken a spiritual gifts assessment. If you haven't done that, please do that so you'll know how God has wired you. And we're going to see now in this last bit of the series that God wants to weave us together and make a work of art with us. He wants to make a work of art with us, that He would be able to craft us, to knot us and knit us together, that we would walk in real maturity of faith. There's a family in our church, the Abraham family, that they've been a part of our church since our downtown campus, the first one, before we had multi-site, way back when, decades ago, they were in our downtown campus and then came here to our Loop campus in the 70s when we moved here. Well, what their business is fine rugs. So the rug that I have right here on stage is one from their place, their business. It's a fine oriental rug. It's knotted together to be a beautiful work of art. So we thought it would be interesting to just do a little interview with them via video and to ask them some questions and say, how does a work of art get woven together? How do these things get made so that we could look and see that God is the master weaver of our hearts? And He's weaving us together. So let's watch this and learn a bit about how these things come together.
We started with two rugs in our apartment and used to very shoved out area. A member of our church, First Baptist Church, asked us to bring those three, four rugs to their home and call some of their friends, and they bought those rugs, and that was the beginning of our business.
It takes a village to make a rug. From the person that is the shepherd that watches the sheep, make sure they eat healthy food, to the person that spins the yarn and makes it just the right fineness to make exactly the type of rug they're trying to make, to the person that dyes the wool, make sure that the colors come out just the right shade so that we can see exactly the right colors the master has designed. Then the person that actually draws the design, after the concept is understood, who actually says which colors go where to make it really beautiful at what size they were trying to make it at.
Okay, so there are as many colors. Some of the rugs have 50, 60 colors, so actually that many number of this wool yarn you're going to see. They are pulling it from here and making the knot and pushing this thing down, making each knot tighter. So this is what we call it knot. This is what we call it weaving.
A long time ago, they were very competitive factories that would make different rugs, like groups of people that would make rugs, master designers. And they didn't want anyone to steal their design, like steal their paper that they drew the design. So what they did was they would memorize the pattern of every single knot in a rug. They would memorize the sequence of it. And then they would call out the numbers and call out the colors and with a drum beat. And so they would say like red, 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 white, 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 blue, 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 red, 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 black, 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 black. And they would continue to do that. They would memorize it and nobody could steal it. Only the person who sang the song knew it.
But even though we may sound that is, how can it be that whole day chatting, but it is a beautiful song when you see it, okay? Mm. So in between, they bring music, in between they bring a rhythm and the style of singing, and some of the video thing that you can see, wow, they're really singing it. No wonder they're enjoying what they're doing. And then it's interesting that the head guy, we call it the head weaver or master weaver, watching it so carefully, he backing up line because someone did not quite listen in the right speed of the other one. So the next time he got up, so he's singing it so he can catch it up again, okay? Mm. It is an amazing form of art.
See, we're knitted together. As a body of Christ, we're knitted together in our hearts that we can be a beautiful pattern, a wonderful, wonderful piece of art of what God wants to do. And what's neat as well is as we study the book of Ephesians, Ephesus is in Turkey where many of these rugs are made. And so it's from these tradesmen in Ephesus that these things happen. Look in the scripture at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. It begins in the middle of a sentence, but I want you to get the context of where we are. We went over this verse last week, but we're going to read it as well. Until we reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man, underline mature man, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Verse 14, then, circle that word then we will no longer be children tossed by the wind, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching and by human cunning and cleverness in the techniques of deceit. So he's putting together a comparison. He's saying, if you're going to be a mature man or woman in Christ, then you will not be like a child that is blown about on the waves, that you're not a rudderless ship blown about on the waves and by the wind. So he's saying to us, we want you to not be children. We want you to be men and women. We want you to grow up in the faith. So the first thing that we get here is that we are to seek maturity. We are to seek maturity. That it's not something that we're to hang back and just go, well, you know what? I became a Christian way back when. I got my fire insurance and everything's fine. I don't really need to seek maturity. I don't need to grow anymore. No, we're to seek maturity. We're to have the faith of a child, but the discernment of an adult. The faith of a child, but the discernment of an adult. And many of us are still spiritual infants because we've never matured in our relationship with Christ. We have come to know Jesus. We've been around church and we've read our Bible from time to time, but we're not really maturing. And what happens is then we are gullible and we can be taken away by false teaching. And things can get in our minds that take us away from our walk with God. Children are very gullible. It's really fun. It's awesome. You can pretty much say anything with big wide eyes. And if you smile and take a deep breath, they'll believe you on anything. Now, I don't want to ruin anything, so let me speak in code, and let me just give you a few of these. See if you can figure this out. Once a year, an obese man comes down your chimney, having been flown across the world by flying venison, is what happens. Coming up pretty soon, in American capitalism, we believe that chickens and rabbits have unified in the egg business, and they're coming to your home. If you have a dental problem, we will send a fairy harvester to attend you while you sleep. But if we say it with a big enough smile, if we say it with a clear enough voice, then we'll believe it. And how many of us are thinking the same things about Christianity? We're hearing all these things with a big smile and a big voice, but then we don't know where to place cancer. We don't know where to put grief. We're not sure where to put an ache. We're not sure to handle a relationship, how to handle a relationship that's gone south, even between believers. And so we end up with a faith like a child is awesome, but we have to have the discernment and the life skills of an adult. And so Paul says, then if you see Christ, then you will not be like children who are thrown about, tossed back and forth by cunning waves and like a rudderless ship and by cunning deceit. See, here's the truth about it. Spiritual maturity happens intentionally. Physical maturity happens naturally. Physical maturity happens naturally. Spiritual maturity happens intentionally. You are going to physically mature. That's going to happen. Don't worry about it. It's happening. Wrinkles and gray hair are coming your way. That's just what's happening. That's a sign of splendor. It's a crown of wisdom. And we, a lot of times, are moving physically into maturity, but we're not moving spiritually into maturity. Physical maturity will happen. A 13-year-old looks different from a 3-year-old. A 23-year-old looks different than a 13-year-old. A 33-year-old, a 53-year-old looks different than a 23-year-old. Physical maturity will happen, but spiritual maturity is intentional. We set our eyes like flint, our faces like flint. We go for it. We seek first His kingdom and righteousness. We choose this day who we will serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. See, there's a choice that happens when we make a spiritually intentional thing that I'm going to walk with God. I'm not just going to try to get it on the run. I'm not just going to just come into church and bump into a Bible and hope I get it. I'm going to be intentional about my spiritual maturity. And when you really mature and we really grow spiritually, it's hard to mark sometimes. You can stand up against the wall and mark out a line and say, okay, that's how tall you are. You can stand on a scale, say, that's how much I weigh. You can say, my clothes don't fit me anymore. You can look in the mirror and see that you've aged. But how do you measure spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity is an intentional desire to walk with God. It's to say, I want to put time aside to pray. I want to put time aside to read the Bible. I want to put time aside to minister. I want to put time aside in my heart. I want to choose Him, we'll see in a little bit, to be head over all things and me to be underneath Him. Spiritual maturity happens intentionally. See, false teaching at its core is a centering on man, and true teaching at its core is a centering upon God. And when we get out of false teaching and being blown around by the wind and the waves, it's when we've centered on God and we've intentionally walked things out. See, this rug is intentionally made. They take it and they work day after day. It takes years to make a rug like this because the way that they guide them is by knots by square inch. So a little square inch might have 300 or 400 knots in it. And so they work from sun up to sundown to be able to do it so that the backside and the front side are so quality, you almost can't tell the difference because they've been woven with such intentionality and care. So He is saying, seek maturity, seek maturity. Now, He's going to give us some threads to be able to seek maturity with. Look, if you will, into verses 15 and 16. Here's what it says in verse 15 and 16. Talking about this thing of maturity, it says this. Three things He's going to give us. See if you can pick them out. Number one, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Let us, number two, grow in every way unto Him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, from Him the whole body is fitted and knitted together, we're woven together by every supporting ligament, promotes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. That's the third thing. There's three threads He gives us of spiritual maturity. When we're talking about being intentional, we're talking about growing up spiritually, here's three threads. We looked last week and we saw the four threads that could come together to shape our spiritual giftedness. And that God would make a pattern with us, a tartan with us, and He would say, this is who I've woven you to be in your spiritual gifts. Not just those four things, but a lot of things, but woven those together. Now we're going to see, what does a mature man or woman look like in Christ? The first thing is this, they speak the truth in love. They speak the truth in love. That's important in preaching. I hope that I speak the truth, but you don't feel beat up, but you feel loved at the same time. We speak the truth in love. In verse 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love. That's the first place, speaking the truth in love. Now, where are you on the continuum of speaking the truth and speaking in love? See, we've all got a thing, and I put it into our listening guide. There's a continuum there, and I want you to actually fill out where you fall. We know that Jesus is right here in the center, right? He's going to be the perfect combination of it. But where do you fall, truth or love? Where do you typically fall? Well, let me give you a couple hints. If you ever say things like this, look, I'm going to shoot straight, you're over here, okay? If you ever say, I don't really want to bring it up, we'll just see if it goes away, you're probably over here. We need to be in this region because we're to be Christ-like. Doesn't mean we'll ever be just like Jesus, but what was Jesus? He was the perfect centering of truth and love. He'd flip the tables of the money changers, but yet he would have children that would come and sit in his lap. He would have a woman who was caught in adultery brought to him right there in front of him. And he would say, in truth, let you who is without sin cast the first stone. And then he would bow on his knees and he would say, go and repent, or go and sin no more. And he would speak the truth perfectly in love. That's how Christ would do it. But a lot of times we have in our personalities a tendency to be on the truth side or the love side. If you're too much on the truth side and not enough on the love side, here's what's going to happen. You're going to wound people you love. You're going to wound people you care about. They're going to fear you. They're going to be concerned about what you're going to say. They're going to walk on eggshells. They're going to feel like, oh, just don't make him or her upset. You're going to have a lot of truth, but it's going to be, walls are going to come up. If you're on the love side, you're way over here on the love side, you're like, well, I just don't want to bring it up. Here's what you're doing. You're enabling people. You're enabling people to continue in a life that is going to go off a cliff is what it's going to go off. And you need to love them enough to tell them the truth. And you've probably been building the bridge of love for decades, and it's time to now walk on the bridge of love with some truth. We want to be centered so that we speak the truth in love. How do we do that? Let me give you just a little phrase. I didn't have enough time to put it in the listing guide, but let me give you this. This is how you do it. You affirm their worth and address their behavior. You affirm their worth and address their actions or their behavior, whatever you want to call it. Affirm their worth, address their actions. That's how you do it. So here's what it looks like. With an employee, you bring them in and you say, hey, man, I want you to know you are an amazing person. What you have done in this company has been tremendous. I am so grateful. We would not be where we are without you. You are so valuable to us as a company. But I want to ask you a couple questions about what happened with that client on Thursday. You see how it's affirmed? Then you discuss about the client a little bit, what went wrong, what went right, and then you're able to say, man, you know what? If we can get this centered back on the right path, then we'll be able to really walk this thing out, and you're going to do even better in this company, in this place. That's different than you bring them in and you go, what happened Thursday? Are you crazy? Or you say, oh, no, it's fine. I know. It's just 50% of our income this year, but it's good you didn't show up. It's okay. Don't worry about it. No, you've got to speak the truth in love. We've got to have hard skills of our task, and we've got to have soft skills of people skills that we can put those things together to be able to have relationships. We have to have that in our marriage. We have to speak the truth in love. Now, husbands, just so I can give you just an out, here's the deal. If you're driving to someplace and you're late and your wife asks you if you like her outfit, lie, okay? Always say yes to that moment, okay? That doesn't count. That's okay. Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course you know. But at the same time, we've got to be in our relationships with our husbands and our wives that we can speak in the ways of love and of truth, that we don't negate the worth of the relationship. So we could say, look, no one loves you more than me on planet Earth. No one loves you more than I do on planet Earth. But you know, when that happened, that really hurt me. You know, when you did that, I just wonder if that was the right decision for us. Now, my love is not in question, but I'm just trying to help you. No one is more for you than your spouse or your family. And so to receive that truth in love, we've got to do both, because if we just stay on the love side, we're going to just enable people. And we're really lying, aren't we? We're just letting them go off a cliff. But at the same time, if we're over here on the truth side, where we don't have any love and compassion, then walls are going to come up. And Paul says one of the marks of a spiritually mature person is that they're able to walk that balance of truth in love. Mary Poppins would say a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. But we know that it's more than sweetness. It's true care and love to be able to help that be walked out. And that's what we've got to do. And that is a marking of a spiritually mature person. And I know you're just like me. I don't mind when people ask questions. But boy, defensive walls come up in me when I feel questioned. When I feel like my value is being threatened. So the truth in love, where are you on that continuum? Our world does not like truth, because here's what we do. We say God's truth, his definition of truth, it better match my definition of love. And if it doesn't match my definition of love, then we're going to throw God out. When we really need to be saying, "What, God, what's your definition of truth?" And now we'll reorient our life all the way around. So speaking the truth in love, the way you do it, how you do it, this word truth in particular, though, is the truth of the gospel. This is the gospel truth, that Jesus came to planet Earth, died on the cross for our sins, paid for our sins, and gave his life for us. And that's the good news of the gospel. The word truth is used in the Bible over 200 times. Truth is very important, and we can't get away from it. It's a blessing to us to know truth. The second thing he gives us is this. He says, grow up in every way. Grow up in every way. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we talked about that. Let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. Grow up in every way. See, we've got to grow up. All throughout the scriptures, it talks about being grown up. It says in Genesis 21 that Isaac was a child and he grew. Genesis 25, Esau and Jacob grew up. Exodus chapter 2, Moses grew up. Judges 13, Samson grew up. Samuel in 1 Samuel grew up. John the Baptist, and it talks about Jesus in, John the Baptist talks about Jesus in Luke chapter 1, verse 80. This is what he says. The child, being Jesus, grew up and became spiritually strong. Luke chapter 2, verse 40, the boy grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was on him. Luke 2, 52, a prayer that I would say, parents, be praying this for your children. I pray it for my children. Here's what it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. That's what we want to be praying for our kids, that they would grow up in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and with man. To grow up in every way means to grow up emotionally, to grow up spiritually, to grow up relationally, to grow up vocationally, to grow up in every way, not just physical stuff, but to really grow up. And Paul says the second mark of a spiritually mature man or woman is that they grow up, not in life of years, but in ways of walking out the maturity of the gospel, of the truth of it in every way, every way. Now, let me just speak the truth in love. There is a case that needs to be made for adulthood in our country. We need to make the case for adulthood in our country. It is more likely that you would see a 50-year-old dressing and acting like a 15-year-old than it would be that you would see a 15-year-old wanting to be a 50-year-old. We are taking our cues from the kids, and we are not growing up as adults. So let's just make a case for just a moment of adulthood in America. Many of our problems are flat out for the fact that we have not grown up. And I point at my generation and down in particular. Here's the deal, men. Your wife is not your girlfriend. You don't just leave her on a whim. She's your wife. Ladies, a place of gossip and talking bad about people is for teenagers and kids. Grow up. Let's walk with responsibility to take care of the things that we need to take care of. Parents, be parents. Don't be buddies. Be a parent. It's not important that your kids like you all the time. It's important that your kids respect you. You are the leader of the home. They are not in charge. You are. It's time to grow up. And we often in America are a bunch of adults acting like a bunch of kids. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. You are a man. And men walk with responsibility and respect, and they honor people even when it's not easy. That's what men do. You are a woman, and they walk with class, and they walk with charm, and they walk with grace, and they let their hearts be more than their exterior, and they walk, and they provide for their family, and they care for them. Proverbs 31, all those things. That's what a woman does. We need to, as adults, be done with trying to be cool. That is past tense. It's time to be responsible. and walk with God as men and women and fulfill the commitments we have made in our relationships. That's what it means to be an adult. And students, come to adulthood. It's glorious. It's wonderful. It's great. It's mighty. It's awesome. It's a beautiful pattern, and it's tough, and it's difficult, and people get hurt, and business is tough, and the workplace is a dog-eat-dog, and friends of ours get sick, and people we love die, and things are very hard, and so we take those things to God, and we say, Lord, would you grow me up in every way? Would you weave in me something that gives me character? So I just want you to ponder that phrase, that a case needs to be made for adulthood, for being an adult who walks with responsibility, and let the gray hair be a gray hair of splendor and wisdom and glory, and act like an adult instead of taking our cues from the kids. And what will happen is God will weave things together. So how do we grow up? How does that really happen? How do we say, as a 50-year-old, I don't want to be a 15-year-old? Well, even a part of our strategy here at the church, we gather our hearts, we grow our souls, and we give our lives. What gives us how we grow our souls, at the end of verse 15, it says, in every way, into him, Jesus, who is the head, Christ. Here's how it works. Christ as head is truth. Man as head is false. So Christ, when we put Christ as head, what does that mean? Christ is the head of my marriage. Christ is the head of my parenting. Christ is the head of my church. Christ is the head of my business. Christ is the head of my problem. Christ is the head of my grief. Christ is the head of my sorrow. Christ is the head of my joy. Christ, you're number one. Not man as head. Man as head is false. Christ as head is truth. Now from him as head of my life, I can handle in him, through him, with him, by him, whatever comes. But when I'm head, here's what I do. This is just me personally. I start complaining about problems in the palace. My feet are sore from walking on streets of gold. I'm whining about stuff. I'm complaining about stuff. How come stuff never goes right? How come it always goes wrong? When Christ is ahead, you realize this. Consider all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. And God does something in your life. See, because what happens is you end up with a master weaver. And that master weaver begins to go red, 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 blue, 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 black, 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 white, black, blue, red, white. And he begins to weave something together, and he's stitching it together. And what he's doing, knots per square inch, will blow your mind and mine. God is at work in our lives, and he's weaving together the dark and the light colors, the joyous and the difficult ones. And when we grow up, we realize that when you look at the corner, you don't see the beauty of the whole thing. He's moving it from the corner to the centerpiece so that the whole thing can be a work of art. And that's why rugs of this quality, sometimes you'll find them on a wall instead of on the floor. Feels funny to even walk on them because they're so gorgeous. You want to put them up as a mural on the wall because he's weaving, weaving, and weaving. We all want to grow up. And in verse 13 and 15, it gives us a few things to grow up with. And I put it in your listening guide for you to circle one, the one that you really want to grow in this year. It says, I desire in your listening guide to grow in faith, knowledge, unity, or love. Circle which one you really want to be your focus. What is it that you really want to be your focus there in the listening guide? Of course, we want all of those, no question. But in verse 13 and verse 15, it gives us those things that you'd focus in on and say, I want to grow up in that way. Third thread and lastly, mature people live woven together as the body of Christ. Mature people live woven together as the body of Christ. We talked last week about the tartan of our lives, that God's put a pattern in you of your spiritual giftedness. Bob Bell said this, somewhere in you is the you whom you were made to be, and we need you to be you. That you walk out who you are, and that your pattern and my pattern come together to be the body of Christ. See, what's happening is we are woven together as the body of Christ. So we've got somebody that's got this gift set, somebody with this gift set, somebody that's real good at truth, somebody that's real good at love, and now we put them together, and now the weaving together is strong and tight. Mature people Grown-up people spiritually speak the truth in love. They grow up in every way, and they live a life woven together with other people, other believers through church, other relationships in their family and their marriages. They live together, woven together with their friendships, and they journey tightly woven together. They don't go solo. They're all together, and that's what's so amazing about the church that Paul's speaking about, that he's weaving us together. Let me tell you, here at Houston's First Baptist, we want to be a body, not a building. We want to be a body, not a building. What do big churches usually get attention for? Their buildings, right? Wow, look at all that. We got a lot of great stuff. We got a lot of bells and whistles. We got a lot of seats. We got a lot of things going on. We want to be a body. If we are known for the buildings, we have missed it. When you're a little kid, look at the church, look at the steeple, open the door. What? Here's all the people. That's what it's about. It's the body of Christ. So in Cyprus, we're going to build a building for you guys in Cyprus. It's going to be awesome, but it's about the body. Right now, you're in a cafeteria. Who cares? It's about the body. Sienna, meeting in retail space that we've gotten to be a part of purchasing. That's awesome. That's incredible. But it's not about the building. It's about the body. Downtown, in a hotel today, because our room has been flooded. We're going to move back in a couple weeks. Don't worry, downtown. But it's not about the building. It's about the body. At the Loop, we got a whole lot of buildings, but it's about the body. That's what it's about. And if we get our eyes on the building, it's missing the body. So he says here, every ligament come together, fitted together. That word where it says fitted and knitted together in verse 16 is where we get the Greek word harmony. Every supporting ligament produces and promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love for the proper working of each individual part. Which system in your body are you willing to do without? You willing to do without a nervous system? Just take that out. You got other system. You don't need that one. We'll take out your cardiovascular system. Who needs all that stuff? You got other stuff. We'll take out your muscular system. No, every one of those pieces together, and if you're without them, you're either going to die or you're going to be in a lot of problems. They come together and they weave together to bond all together. We want to be the body of Christ. And lastly, as we close, this is the artwork that comes then. That then we're able to see God do a mosaic work in our lives and weave us together. Is it the place that you need to speak the truth in love? Or you've been loving so much, you just need to start speaking some truth? Is it time to just grow up? And there needs to just be a case made for adulthood? Is it that you need to be woven together and knitted and fitted and woven knots per square inch with other people in relationships in your life? And then God will take as a master weaver, red, 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 blue, 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 and he'll sing a song over you that puts it all together. And you'll be woven together into a work of art called the body of Christ. You're just one small corner, one little fringe, but we all come together to be the body and to let him do his work. The master weaver wants to weave and weave us together.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.